to the Stumbled Upon podcast. I am your host, Kate, and each week we'll be taking a deep dive into a random topic that has sparked my interest. I hope that you're all having a wonderful Friday and are looking forward to the weekend ahead. This week's episode is going to be about Pride Month. For those of you that don't know, Pride just began on June the 1st, and it will last until the end of June, and it is celebrated across the world. And so I decided to take a deep dive into where it actually started, because I'm sure that by now you all have maybe not necessarily participated in Pride Month yourself, but are aware of the corporate sponsorship and kind of what we've seen in mainstream America as far as Pride goes. So the history of this month actually starts back in the World War II and post-war era, when the gay rights movement started in response to the military's anti-homosexual policies. They were feeding off of the paranoia around the Red Scare. Senator Joseph McCarthy argued that, quote, deviant sexual behavior, like deviant political ideology, were things that made people vulnerable to blackmailing, end quote. If you will recall, the Red Scare was when they thought that everyone in the government was a secret communist, and so Senator McCarthy was one of the leading Republican senators who led the sort of witch hunt for communists or communist sympathizers in the government. And along with that, he targeted both these suspected communists as well as suspected homosexuals. And his efforts initially had pretty widespread support. In 1953, President Dwight D. Eisenhower issued an executive order banning homosexuals from working for the federal government, citing them as a security risk. Now, Frank Kameny, known by some as the father of the gay rights movement, was affected by this order, and he ended up losing his job with the Army Map Service as an astronomer in 1957. He himself had a doctorate in astronomy from Harvard University, and he unsuccessfully sued the federal government, later devoting his life to fight for gay rights. Some of his most notable achievements are that he founded the Mattachine Society of Washington, D.C. He picketed the White House. He contested the American Psychiatric Association's categorization of homosexuality as a mental defect, and he coined the term "gay is good." As a side note, the Mattachine Society was one of the nation's earliest gay rights organizations that preferred to press for change through legal and political channels. So they were more about the sort of like peaceful protest side of making changes, whereas, as we'll see in later groups, they swung to a more sort of active rebellion type vibe. Fast forward to June 28, 1969. In the early morning hours, the police arrived to the Stonewall Inn, a popular Greenwich Village gay bar, to enact a raid on trumped-up liquor license charges. Police would routinely raid known gay bars because homosexuality was a criminal offense at this time in a lot of places in the United States. And this, specifically, we're talking about in New York City, they would be raiding known gay bars pretty regularly at this time. Officers started pushing customers and workers into police cars, but instead of dispersing, those that hadn't been grabbed started cheering those who had. This caused a crowd to form of both patrons who hadn't been grabbed, as well as neighbors and tourists that happened to be in the area. And when one woman who was fighting attempts to haul her into a squad car yelled, "Why don't you guys do something?" the crowd began chanting and throwing bottles and bricks. The police ended up barricading themselves in the bar as the riot flared. The police ended up having to call for backup, and more violent demonstrations continued over the next few days. According to Harvard professor in the studies of women, gender, and sexuality, Michael Bronski, there had been previous riots in the U.S. involving gays and lesbians fed up with the police harassment, but Stonewall erupted during the Vietnam protests and civil rights and gender equality movements, marking a decisive break from the more passive sexual orientation politics of the time. So again, this event in Stonewall, or this event at Stonewall, really pushed the conversation into the public eye, and it sort of ushered in a new era of the gay rights movement from that sort of, like I said, that sort of passive movement that it had been to a more active, you know, kind of in your face a little bit movement. The Gay Liberation Front rose in the wake of Stonewall as a more radical version of the Mattachine Society, unafraid to use confrontation to push reform. So, where did the parades come from? Well, the first parade was held in New York on June 28, 1970, as a march to honor the Stonewall Uprising. At the time, it was called the Stonewall Riots, but I think nowadays it's more so known as the Uprising. I think, and I could be completely wrong on this, but I think the change in the name has to do with the way that you view the narrative of the event. I think we have a lot of stigma against what we call quote-unquote riots as being kind of like mindless acts of violence. And, you know, I can see how people who are maybe not in support of the gay rights movement or the LGBTQIA movement to want to put it in the light of a riot, but in all reality, was it a violent event? Yes, but sometimes these violent events are what are the catalyst to major changes. And truthfully, in my opinion, arresting somebody because of who they are deciding that they want to be in love with is stupid. Well, hold on. I'm specifically talking about consenting adults here, okay? So I don't see the problem with any member of the LGBTQIA community as far as like their sexual orientation goes. Like the fact that the government and other people care so much about what these people are doing. It's just absurd to me because you don't see the same level of scrutiny in straight world. And I think that's because it's a way to mark somebody as other. And if you can mark another group as quote unquote other, then you have more ammunition for your own group as the quote unquote norm or the acceptable norm. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's why having all these different classifications for people, one, it's natural, you know, on a human level to want to categorize things, right? I mean, we categorize almost everything in our lives. And so I get that it's sort of a normal thing for us to want to do as human beings is figure out what box you belong in. But at the same time, too, having all these different boxes and, you know, really forcing people to label the box that they're in just creates more lines of division or the ability for more lines of division to exist. And again, it just furthers the narrative of us versus them in society. And that narrative, the narrative of us versus them, is how you get people to hate who is categorized as other. And if you can get people to hate a group that they categorize as other, then you can get them to do a lot of really terrible things. You know, I mean, you don't have to look very far in history to see that that's the truth of the matter. So anyway, that was sort of a random tangent. Sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. That's what this podcast is all about. It's just going off on random tangents. Anyway, the first parade, like I said, was a march that was held to honor the Stonewall Uprising. And the first march in 1970 attracted thousands of participants. And in the following years, more cities organized their own parades in support of gay rights. Today, more than 2 million people attend the annual Pride March in New York. And interestingly, Sao Paulo in Brazil is considered the world's biggest pride parade, with an estimated 3 to 5 million people participating annually. San Francisco Pride, another of the world's largest celebrations, has noted that this year, many corporate sponsors have pulled their financial support, including longtime sponsors Comcast and Anheuser-Busch. Neither responded to requests for comment in the article that I had read. Basically, corporate support of Pride expanded after the Supreme Court recognized same-sex marriage in 2015, but since then, there's been more polarization on LGBTQ causes. So, I mean, it's in a shocker to literally no one. Corporate America sucks. I understand that it's this weird catch-22 situation, because if you can get corporate America on your side, then that opens up more doors for funding, right? And funding means that you can further your cause, further your mission, get more people involved, get more people to feel included. It's a good thing, right? On the one hand. But then on the other hand, corporate America is just not bound by loyalty to anyone but the US dollar. And so we're seeing right now, specifically in the second term of President Trump, that a lot of his policies are very targeted against the LGBTQIA community. So a lot of these corporate sponsors are pulling out of things like these or scaling back things like these, Pride Month in general, because they don't want to, one, they want to, they being the corporations, want to go with the tide, whatever political tide is sort of rolling through, right? Because that's where the money is. They want to go where the majority, quote unquote, is. And so they want to go where the money, they're chasing the money. And so if American politics are swinging to this wildly conservative side, then these corporations are going to start backing off on their more liberal and progressive policies because they want to chase that majority dollar. The problem in that, there's lots of problems in that. I mean, we can all agree that there's lots of problems in that. But the problem in that too, or in today's climate too, is that there's this threat hanging out there that if you go against the whims of this man who is in charge right now, then you're going to have to face all these sort of sanctions and backlash and really like real economic issues, or not even issues, but real economic ramifications. I mean, look at Harvard University right now. They are fighting the Trump administration, and he's pulling millions and millions and millions of dollars of funding for them. And he's trying to make it even harder because they are refusing to bend to his will. And so you see these other, I mean, and that's an institution of higher learning. And so they're not necessarily, like, their goals, obviously, I mean, they're still a business, right? Because they still need to make money to have teachers and all of that, right? But their goals as an institution are going to be different than, for example, Target. And so you see these companies that are really only concerned with the bottom dollar capitulating to these, the most recent whims of our society. And it sucks. I mean, for like lack of a better word, it just sucks. It, in my opinion, the fact that they're so flip-floppy with their support cheapens the support that they do have. You know what I mean? Like, it just makes it feel even, we already knew that the corporate rainbow was suspicious, right? We knew that, but we accepted it because it was funding for a cause that we believed in. I say we, like, you know, y'all are on my side, right? And now that we know for sure, based on these recent actions of these corporations, that they never really gave a shit. And so now that's, you know, confirmed. We knew it before, but now it's more in your face. Like, yep, that's, they really don't care. To me, that cheapens whatever they do from here on out. So even if they do backtrack or they do, you know, try to change and say, oops, we didn't mean it. To me, that you've shown who you are and there's really no, the cat's out of the bag type deal. And so the article that I was reading was really talking about how since corporate America is pulling back from support of these pride parades and sponsorship of these parades and really sponsorship of, you know, merch in general, rainbow merch in general, the organizers of the San Francisco parade were basically like, look, we understand that you don't want to spend your money on us having a party, but we don't need your money. We'll go find it somewhere else. We, the community, will put our money where our mouths are, basically, is kind of what their response was to that, which I thought was really empowering. I felt like it was a strong stance to take and sort of being like, you know what, look, if that's what you want to do or not do, that's fine. You can go sit over there. We're going to still be over here doing what we need to do. Because at the end of the day, Pride is not just the celebration of all the strides that have been made in the last 50 plus years, but it's to remember Stonewall, and it's to remember that the community at large can be a vehicle for change, you know? Anyway, so where did the word pride come from anyway? Let's go back to the 12th century. I know we're going back far, just stick with me. In its early uses, pride referred to an inordinate self-esteem or an unreasonable conceit of superiority. During this period, it was often capitalized as it was linked to the Christian concept of the seven deadly sins. In Catholicism, some theologians considered pride the original and most serious sin. In the 14th century, it shifted towards something more positive, being referred to as a reasonable form of self-respect. Fast forward again, in the years before the Stonewall Uprising, the concept of gay pride was starting to emerge within the LGBTQ community. A group founded in Los Angeles in 1966 used PRIDE as its acronym to stand for Personal Rights in Defense and Education. Gay pride and gay power were influenced by black pride and black power terms associated with the civil rights movement, according to Mark Stein, a history professor at San Francisco State University. One of the organizers of the first march in New York in 1970, L. Craig Schoonmaker, argued that pride should be their unifying slogan. In response to some organizers wanting it to be gay power, he said, quote, "There's very little chance for people in the world to have power. People did not have power then. Even now, we only have some. But anyone can have pride in themselves and would make them happier as people and produce the movement likely to produce change." The march's rallying cry became, "Say it loud, gay is proud." Embracing pride, or a sense of self-esteem, became especially powerful for the LGBTQ community as a way to fight internalized shame, according to Schoonmaker. In 1999, President Bill Clinton declared June as Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. And in 2008, President Barack Obama changed it to Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. Despite the recent turmoil with President Trump's second term in office, historian Stein points out that progress is rarely linear, stating, quote, "I think the strength of the backlash or the backsliding is a measure of how successful the movement had been for 50 years," end quote. So I think that's a really positive note to end on. Like, even though it can feel hopeless and even though it can feel like the progress that has been made in recent years is just getting erased seemingly overnight, it's important to remember that, one, progress is not linear. There's going to be ups and downs. And two, you know, he's right in that there was a lot of forward progress made. I mean, gay people just got the right to be married in 2015. That was 10 years ago. So it's not even been that long. So I think viewing it in this light of, you know, these strides were made and this current administration is hellbent on kind of destroying all of that progress, but that's just a measure of how much progress was actually made. And that hopefulness about continuing to make progress, I think, is important to hold on to, because that will help the movement keep holding its momentum forward. It's easy to get downtrodden when it feels like everything in power or everybody in power is against you and what you believe, but it's important to hold on to the hope that things can change for the better. So I know that got a little deep, but LGBTQ progress and that movement is very near and dear to my heart. And so it's important for me to share that And also, hopefully, with bringing up the origins of Pride Month and where it came from, maybe it will help people understand a little bit more and be interested in the movement a little bit more, and also consider where you give your money to when it comes to corporate America. Because again, it's a reoccurring theme in a lot of these topics that I do. Corporate America does not care about you. Think about where you're spending your money, because it may not say a lot if one individual makes a change, but it will say a lot if millions of people make a change. You know, every little bit helps. Our collective voice is stronger than we think. On that note, I hope that you all have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will see you next Friday.